Okay, this is Michael O'Rourke from the Oregon Historical Society. The date today is June 2nd, 1995, and this is a continuation of the oral history with Judge James Redden in his chambers. Well, we pretty much covered your time in the treasurer's office, I think, last time. I thought it might be worthwhile to backtrack a little bit. We did talk about your attendance at the Democratic National Convention, as I recall. I wasn't able to check that out last night, but
yeah, 1968. I'm sure we did.
Yeah, I think we did. I'll check that in case we didn't. But the other thing that happened in that year that was somewhat politically significant in the state that you weren't directly involved in, but probably had an opportunity to observe from the sidelines was the Morse Packwood race.
Mm-hmm.
And when Morse was upset by Packwood, what do you recall about that race?
Well, that was an interesting race from the primary on. I was supporting Bob Duncan in the primary race against Wayne Morse. Bob Packwood, of course, was a state legislator, served three sessions in the state legislature, the same three that I served. We were about the same age, so Bob's a couple of years younger, I guess. So we were fairly good friends. And he was very frank about what he thought might be done, that he thought it might be the time to upset Wayne Morse, and that especially if the Democratic primary got rough and tumble and Morse won the primary after a tough fight, that his chances would be enhanced. And he was absolutely right. It still was an upset, but after the primary, it became doable. Wayne Morse had always been, of course, controversial and had a strong following in the Democratic Party, but unfortunately, for him, it was somewhere around 40%. So it's very difficult. He was sort of like Charlie Porter, another Lane County legislator. It's very difficult for them to lose a primary and increasingly difficult for them to win a general election. But it was an interesting race, both in the primary and the general. It's a three-way race in the Democratic primary.
That was between Morris Duncan and who was the third one?
No, I guess that was a different one. That was when when Bob Packwood did succeed and ran against Mark Hatfield for the Senate. That's right. This race, it was Duncan and Morris. And that was a very hard-fought race, a close decision. Of course, Wayne Morris won. In the meantime, although no one was noticing, Bob Packwood defeated I can't remember who it was now, but he was pleased with the results because he got a fairly substantial vote in a virtually non-contested race, and that's always a fairly good sign that somebody's paying attention. And he then put together a fairly well-financed, though not at first, but at the end it was, well-financed race against Morris, as more and more Republicans, some heavy contributors, realized that perhaps this was a chance to get rid of their nemesis, Wayne Morris. Trying to think of the very conservative Republican, and at that time Bob Packwood was not conservative, contributed heavily in the end to Bob Packwood because he could see that it would be the end of Wayne Morris. And so Packwood succeeded in raising money and succeeded in a debate that they had, a public debate, which I think decided the race.
That was the City Club debate.
And
did you see that debate?
Oh, I did. Yeah, it was on cable, but I didn't have cable. I was in Medford then, of course. But I went over to watch it with a crowd of Republicans at my friend Hank Hart's house. Hank was a Republican representative from Jackson County, so they invited me over. I thought I would be I thought I would be crowing about what a great job Wayne did. And the advice to Wayne Morse was not to live up to his reputation of being sharp-tongued, and don't look down on this youngster just because he's young, and this sort of thing. And that was all the advice he took, and he took it to heart, and he wasn't and he wasn't very good at all, because there's only one way that he could be effective, and that was be on the attack. Uh-huh. And I think it was still good advice. But Wayne Morse, another unfortunate thing for him, that he had been very confident that he was going to win. I think that was turned out to be a mistake. He also was campaigning very hard for Humphrey. And there was a great dispute then as to whether Nixon would debate Humphrey. And most of us felt that if Nixon did debate Humphrey, Humphrey would win the debates and the election. So Wayne Morse was just really whooping it up about the importance of debates. And he painted himself into a corner. There was no way that he could get out of debating Bob Packwood. That was the last thing he wanted to do. Because in those situations, it just does make no sense. I mean, it makes no sense at all for a Wayne Morse to debate a Bob Packwood. But he worked himself into a situation where he had to do it. He had not been, I suspect, had not been doing his homework on the Senate race, but more on the presidential race. He came into that debate, and Bob Packwood had not only prepared assiduously, but loaded the audience and primed people so that if they raised their hands to ask a question, if they were going to ask a question favorable to Packwood, they had a white card, and they were the one that were called upon. So it was, Bob did a good job, but he also helped himself an awful lot, and Wayne didn't help himself at all. I think that was a deciding factor, because it made Wayne look ineffective, made Bob Packwood look effective. And I think a lot of people who were ready to vote against Wayne Morse but not ready to vote against this child legislator thought, well, he's obviously capable and competent. And so he won the election very, very close, had a recount, and I think he picked up a few votes, they usually do, and won a very close race. And it was, as many people said at the time, the end of an era, except that in a sense, it really wasn't, because Wayne Morse almost ran for Congress 2 years from then, and ran for the Senate two more times.
That's
after
right.
That.
Well, that must have been quite a blow to Morse, I would think, at the time.
Oh, it was. It was. He was shattered. He, as usual on election night, he retreated to his farm in Eugene, where most of us wander around the television stations, whether you're going to have to brag or cry. You're going to do it publicly, but he had always done that. And he went into hiding almost, it seemed. That's the way it was reported, although that is what he always did. And then he demanded a recount, and it wasn't thought to be a very pleasant way that he handled it, but I don't know how else you handle those things. He was very, very upset. And I don't remember the details, but it was a very nasty recount. I think that Wayne Morse was claiming voter fraud and that sort of thing, but there were none of that. It was just a very close race. Mm-hmm. And he was bitter, because he thought that every prominent Democrat had let him down. And in a certain extent, he was correct. I was in Medford, and I didn't realize it, but at that time, some of Bob Duncan's supporters, not Bob Duncan, but some of his supporters in Portland, those who had supported him in the primary, were parading around with buttons that said, "No more remorse," which is just a dreadful, dreadful mistake. I mean, it just absolutely, these were people with no political sense. They were opening the door to a Bob Packwood, a young state legislator who might very well be, if they thought about it, a United States Senator for a long, long, long time. Precisely what happened. And he had a right to be upset with Democrats who opposed him in the general election simply because they opposed him in the primary. But more than that, I can recall him later giving a speech very critical of Bob Straub, who was a candidate for state treasurer, I think, at the time, and had no real serious challenge, and spent any time I saw him, he was spending his time campaigning for Wayne Morse. But I heard Wayne Morse later complain bitterly about Bob Straub not doing exactly what Bob Straub did. Uh-huh. It was that sort of thing that told me that it was nothing that he could really live very happily with. Uh-huh. With a man with that pride getting defeated by a virtual unknown, why, it was a blow from which he never recovered.
Yeah. Now, you said you supported Bob Duncan in the primary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bob was a close friend, and I supported him without any hesitation. That was the beginning of the Hawk Dove thing. When Bob Duncan announced his candidacy, I guess that was his candidacy against Mark Hatfield. He used that expression, or he used the Vietnam War, because Mark Hatfield as a governor had opposed it at a time where opposing it was unpopular.
Right. That would have been the 66 race then.
In order to get an issue. And by the time he ran against Morris, why, it was who was right in Vietnam. And I thought that the Duncan campaign made a mistake by keeping that issue
alive. Yeah, because by that time the tide was beginning to turn, I think.
That's right. And Bob always had a, still has, a problem with the Vietnam War and thinking he was wrong, like a lot of people did, but in any event, I can recall during the course of that race that some of us who were by then doves having some problems with the theory of the primary race, Bob Duncan's race. But nonetheless, that wasn't the main overriding issue that Bob campaigned on, nor the reason he ran against Morris. But there were a lot of people who felt so strongly on the Vietnam War that's the reason they voted for Morris in the primary, which was unfortunate too, because that wasn't the issue anymore. But Wayne Morris, I think I said earlier, although I knew him then, I didn't become friendly with him till after that race. But I had not thought that he had served the state well because of his personality. Mm-hmm. He felt it absolutely necessary to pick a fight with every Democratic president we had. And I don't know, he had that intense ego. And where somebody like Tom McCall could get away with it because he accompanied it with a sense of humor and would at least on some occasions listen to some good advice. Wayne Morris wasn't blessed with either of those qualities, and it made him a very interesting person, and as I say, it gave him a very strong following, but it wasn't strong enough to carry. Mm-hmm. So it was the last race for Wayne Morris. He should not have run that time, but of course he did. But anyway, that's the way it ended up.
It was his last successful race.
His last successful race. Yeah. He did run after that.
He did run a couple more times.
Yeah.
And in fact, the 72 race, I guess he ran against Hatfield in that
That's
race.
Right. I was running for state treasurer then, not in the primary, of course, but I got in the race in the fall of 72 and made a couple of joint appearances with Senator Morris, and we did some traveling together. I got to know him a little better. He had, of course, gotten older, but having put up with that, and mellower, but having put up with that defeat, I think, uh-huh, taught him that he wasn't invincible, and I think he was a better person for that. But he realized that, you know, he could make some strategic errors in a campaign that only humans were supposed to do, but I think we became pretty good friends at that juncture. I think I didn't think it was in the cards for him to beat Hatfield, and it wasn't. I forget who he opposed in the primary, if anyone, but you know, that was a situation where whoever it is, why,
it was Don Wilner defeat. Was one of the two.
Yeah, that's
primary.
Right, Don Wilner. There were.
There were may have been one or two others significant contenders too. I can't remember the rest of the details about that primary.
Yeah. and I can't remember where it's whether Bob Duncan was in that race too. Wilner was in one primary against Bob, a statewide race. I just don't recall, but.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to check that out myself, but.
But Wayne automatically had enough votes to win a Democratic primary, and he won again. But it would have been very, very difficult to defeat Mark Hatfield at that point. There was nothing controversial about Hatfield. Nobody could say he wasn't doing a good job. He was learning the role as United States Senator and doing a good job. At some juncture in there, while he had been a potential candidate for vice president, which meant ultimately a candidate for president, when that didn't happen, and I think I'm just speculating, but he realized that he would not be a president or a presidential candidate, I think he concentrated in becoming one of the best senators the state has ever had, and it was about that time. So it would have been tough, but it's too bad Wayne Morse ran. Before that, he'd considered even running for Congress in the 4th District, because I remember he came down to my office, in the law office. There was some talk I was going to run, and I certainly wasn't, but he wanted to talk to all the potential Democratic candidates for Congress, and my advice to him was, I was not going to run, but I sure hoped he didn't. I thought that was such a step down for somebody of his stature to run with the possibility of losing a congressional race after being the senior senator for all those years would have been a terrible mistake. And I think in the end, that's why he decided not to run for Congress. But he hit the life, his life was United States Senate, much like Bob Packwood's is today. And there's just no way that he was not going to run until he dropped dead. And he ran until he dropped dead. That's remarkable.
That's right. Well, you know, another interesting thing I heard about the 72 race was that Tom McCall briefly considered throwing his hat in the ring. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, not specifically, but he was always going to throw his hat in the ring for the United States Senate. At one point, he told Bob Packwood, that famous event in history in a kitchen in Bob Packwood's home in Washington, D.C., or near Washington, that he was going to run against him in the Republican primary. But he always talked about it. I'm sure he gave it deep thought every time. Mm-hmm. Really considered it. That was one of his ambitions, was to be a United States Senator. But I don't remember specifically, and I'm sure he muttered about it in that race as well. And
yeah. Of course, he was still been in the governor's office at that point.
I think
still a couple more years to go.
And of course, it was always, he was in a position, if he was going to run, as running against Republicans and for Senate races. And of course, he had all sorts of Republicans telling him, don't you dare. So he never did. But he was frustrated in that. I'm sure he always wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, we have Morse back again in the 74 race. And But he didn't even make it to the general election.
No. He, his primary race, he had Jason Bowe.
That's right.
In that race. And again, it was almost no contest in the primary. There's very little interest on the Democratic side. And Wayne Morse went in with a committed percentage, I forget what it was, but it was enough to win the primary. And nobody thought really that he had much of a chance of winning the general election. During the course of the primary, it came to Jason Bowe's attention that Wayne Morse indeed would be very lucky to live to the general election. And he was faced with the prospect of what to do about that as an issue. And he did his best to not make it an issue himself, but to advise enough people in the media so that they would pursue this story. And nobody chose to. I don't know whether they didn't believe him or they didn't think it was a nice thing to do. but I think it was impossible, I think politically impossible, for Jason Bo to come out and say, my opponent has cancer and is going to die. But it was a legitimate issue, and it should have been raised by the media. And there were enough indications there to know that it was a good story, mm-hmm. and a big story. But in any event, he won the primary without any significant race and then died, which led to a convention, I guess it was over in La Grande, where Jason was a candidate and Betty Roberts, who had been my opponent, one of my opponents, in the primary race for governor.
That's right, the same year.
You know, was defeated in that race by Bob Straub. She threw her hat into the ring for the Senate, as did Jason Bo, and several others, Joe Smith, who's talking about running again for the U.S. Senate. But Joe was in that race as well. I'm sure there were others. I remember those three. And they had a convention over there, and Betty Roberts won that. Again, I don't think after that there was a much chance of any of those Democrats beating Bob Packwood.
Even though he was just a first-termer at that point.
Yeah. And so it would have been very difficult under any circumstances. Wayne Morse would not have won it, even if he stayed reasonably healthy, my opinion. And I don't think that if Betty Roberts had become a nominee in the normal course, or Jason Bo had won it, that they could have defeated Bob Packwood. It would have been a lot closer had Jason Bo won the primary. Mm-hmm. He would have had a better chance than Wayne Morse, and would have had a better chance than Betty Roberts had getting in late.
Right. So, yeah. Why do you say that Jason Bo would have had a better chance than Wayne Morse? Did he have a fairly high profile in the state by that time?
No, he didn't. But I think that Wayne Morse had run and lost. Wayne Morse had run and lost, and here he comes again. And I think people were just, there was a lot of sympathy for him, but that's about all there was at that point.
He's starting to look like a loser.
Yeah, now. And Wayne did not look good. He was not campaigning vigorously. So I think people realized that perhaps he was terminally ill, but at least he was too old to launch into a six-year term. He would have had a better chance. I mean, Jason Bo would have had a better chance of winning than Wayne Morse, even if Wayne had lived, but probably been unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, of course, but probably would have been.
I guess the fact that Wayne Morse would go ahead and enter the primary and do that race when he himself certainly knew he was critically ill is just a measure of...
Yeah.
His determination.
Yeah. Some character, I tell you. I remember I was quoted after that when the next Senate race came along as who I expected to be a candidate, and I said, well, besides Wayne Morris, I thought he may very well run.
Yeah. I guess he wasn't too much of a Democratic Party promoter at that point.
No, I never had been.
Yeah, if he'd taken stock of things, he might have realized that it was not such a good idea to run that race. No,
I think making decisions like that probably were impossible for Wayne to make, especially whatever effect his illness had on him. It's probably made it even more difficult for him to make those decisions. And I know his family was advising him against it. There just was no way to dissuade him from running.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, in the same year, you ran, made a run for governor yourself. And this would have been, midway through your term as treasurer?
Yeah.
And, I'm wondering how did you decide to get into that race?
Well, not an awful lot of enthusiasm, but when I ran for treasurer, most people said, well, you're doing that so that you can run for governor, and I said, well, I'm not ruling that out. And then I know that I got a lot of support from Democrats in the state treasurer's race because they thought I would, winning a statewide race, I'd be a viable candidate for governor, that McCall could not run again. And that's why they supported me for state treasurer. So it was always on the table. I had some concerns about it going in because of the fundraising problems is one reason. I came out of the treasurer's race, although successful, with a deficit, which took me 2 years to clean up. It's only $7,500, but it taught me, both being in the treasurer's race and clearing up the deficit, that for a Democrat, money was not easy to come by. And the cost of a successful primary race and the successful general race were probably beyond my capabilities. I had not had the opportunity to build a very strong statewide organization because of the way I got into the treasurer's race and the brevity of it all. And so I did not go into it with that. The only, I think I made a mistake in not, if I wanted to be governor, that the thing to do would be that which others have done. When you're finished taking the oath, it's the office of state treasurer, you start campaigning for governor. And I just could not bring myself to do that. And so a vacuum was created, and other candidates jumped in. They probably would have anyway. It was a natural for Betty Roberts to jump in. It was a time when people were interested in a woman for governor. And I always thought in the back of my mind that Bob Straub might take another run at it, though he'd done it twice and lost both times, that he might run again. And in the primary against Bob Straub, I knew that there would be problems. And if it were a three-way primary, that the problems would be vastly compounded, and that's exactly what happened. We all had difficulty in raising funds. Because I had had a deficit in the treasurer's race, I refused to borrow money in that primary, and that probably cost me. The other two candidates incurred heavy deficits. I was unable to finance any television. We had no billboards. I had radio, was about it. And another thing that worked against it was just, I was a couple of months into the job as state treasurer, trying to do a good job in that job, and the bottom fell out of the stock market. And that was a disaster for the candidacy. I can recall one time, I may mention this, driving somewhere, and listening to the radio, and some news broadcaster, so I don't know where he got this, but presumably off the wire, so I knew it went statewide, that state treasurer James Redd announced today that he lost blankety blank millions of dollars of state monies in the stock market. My God. Stuff like that. You know, just about every word was inaccurate. He won some sort of a prize for that, I'm sure. But
it was actually Bob Straub's portfolio too.
Oh yeah, and Bob and I joked about that during the course of the campaign. But those things happen, and they're very difficult to explain. Most of the public didn't know we had money, didn't know whose money it was, thought it was theirs. It wasn't. It was public employees' money who had voluntarily and eagerly gone into the stock market. It was an option that they could exercise, and most of them did exercise it. Most of them understood the stock market, understood the risks, and they still kid me about it. They just say, just keep talking about the paper losses. It's just a paper loss. But that, of course, it certainly didn't help. But it was, you know, nobody voted in that. It was another primary, Democratic primary, where the voter turnout was abysmally low. I carried Southern Oregon, but nobody voted in Southern Oregon. I mean, it was, I think, a 30% turnout in Jackson County. It was just, so it was a difficult case for anybody to win, except for Bob Straub, who had run statewide for treasurer and statewide for governor. Four, 6 times. So the name familiarity is what carried it. And he was still in awe I think, as I recall, it's 5 percentage points between Bob and myself, with Betty Roberts
in the middle. Yeah, it was a close race.
So it was very close, but, and I've had people say, and it probably is true, that if I had gone ahead at the last minute and borrowed $10,000 or $15,000, why, bought some television at the last minute, it may have been enough. It was that kind of a race, because they didn't have money to do that either. But there was no way I was going to do it. And to this day, I'm glad I didn't do it. I'd have entered into then into the race, which was really going to be expensive, $20,000 in debt, which would have been insanity. So, anyway, it turned out that Bob won
against
Vicatia, mm-hmm. who surprised a lot of people by beating Clay Myers. So I don't know what would have happened if I'd gotten that, but I know it wouldn't have been good if I'd gotten in there with a $20,000 deficit.
Was there, now you mentioned that Betty Roberts and Bob Straub both did go into heavy deficits in financing their campaigns in that race. Did they have better connections or better access to